We got this. Thank you, Jesus. That's why I'm not on the worship team. Like, flat. That was flat. But anyway, so it starts out with this beautiful love song, right? And then next thing you know, it's got a heartbreak in 24 hours. So that just does not bring the winter wonderland, the warm fuzzies of Christmas when we sing that song. So here's the challenge. How do we keep, I'm going to say this a lot, so you're like, oh, that's where she's going. But how do we keep this warm wonder of Christmas throughout the whole year, but especially in this season? How do we do it? So we're going to talk about that. But I want to give you one more song. Okay, and I'm going to read the line. Here we go. Praise the Lord. Here we go. Oh, holy night. And there's a line that says, the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. So when I read that, I'm thinking there's a connection that hope and Christmas for this weary world. And I want to know what it is. I want to be able to keep it because, you know, sometimes and some days, and not even just this season, we can just dive, crumble, smash, splat into this weary world. And it is not fun. So we're starting a new series. It's called The King's Arrival. The King's Arrival. And the King's Revival is because this is the time of year that Jesus was born. Amen? This is the time of year that we celebrate that Jesus was born. And because he was born, I have hope. Because he's born, I have peace. Because he was born, I have joy. I'm working on that, right? Okay? So the arrival of Jesus is really, write this down, the arrival of a kingdom. The arrival of Jesus, this babe born in a manger, is really about the arrival of a kingdom. Okay? And Jesus makes this statement about the kingdom of God over and over in the Gospels. You'll hear him say what? The kingdom of God is blah, blah, blah. Or the kingdom of heaven is blah, blah, blah. The kingdom of God is this, this, this. You hear Jesus just pounding this. So what is this kingdom? I'm glad you asked. Okay. First, let me write, you should write this down. The kingdom of heaven Jesus introduces in the Gospels. And it is actually this kingdom of God, this kingdom of heaven is actually an invitation for everybody. It's an invitation no matter how old you are, how whatever you are, and it's an invitation to understand it, and the kingdom of God is an invitation to experience it. Okay, so it's there's something with this kingdom, and you might just go, well then as soon as you do that, I'm like, you need to experience this. You need to experience this. So that's what we're going to talk about. Title of the message, I keep changing it, so by the time it finishes, I'll change it again. But so far, have a wonder, W-O-N-D-E-R, dash, life. Have a wonder, dash, how about full life? Have a wonderful, full life. And because of the arrival of the kingdom of God, we are supposed to have a wonderful life. All because this child was born. We are supposed to have a wonder, and we're going to talk about that, full life. Praise God. Open up to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, is actually written in three of the four Gospels. It's written in three of the four Gospels. All right? Now, there's four Gospels written by four different authors, and they actually give four different perspectives a lot of time of the life and ministry of Jesus. So read all four. But listen, this one, Mark chapter 10, verse 13, is written in three. So I have to think it's kind of significant. If three times, like if your ma says three times, you better come running. It's important, okay? So this is significant. Y'all at Mark chapter 10, verse 13, here we go. One day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But his disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. Verse 14, when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry. He was angry with his disciples and he said, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God." Did you hear that? It's Jesus talking about this kingdom. "For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children." Verse 15, "I tell you the truth, anyone who does not receive the" what? "Kingdom of God like a child will never enter in." Verse 16, "And then he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on their heads and blessed them." You know, I love this story because you get to see a side of Jesus that loves kids, right? All right. He's grabbing kids. He's sitting them on his lap. He's praying them and blessing for them. I think you get to see the personality of God and Jesus there. Don't you? All righty. Now, I was thinking about this and I started went downstairs, started grabbing our kids' Bibles, because I kept thinking, you know, all those Bibles that I have, they have this picture, the illustrator, the artist illustrates Jesus just sitting on a rock. And he's so nice and nothing's, you know, he's just so nice sitting there and he's got a little baby on his lap and he might have one crawling over here. And then there's these kids just standing there. Ah, you get this picture, like, how beautiful. But how many of you have kids? How many of you have grandkids? How many of you know it was probably chaos? All right, because it says the people, it didn't say a person, the people. So I'm just going to stretch your brain a little bit. I think there was a bunch of parents that brought their kid, and back then, excuse me, they didn't have contraceptives, so they had kids all over the place, okay? All right, and they're bringing their kids to Jesus. So how many of you know it was probably chaos? How many of you know you probably had kids pushing and shoving? How many of you know somebody was crying? How many of you know there was probably the 2-year-old splat meltdown on the floor, right? Yeah, okay. Come on, I was just really thinking, how is this really going on? So you have all these parents trying to get their kids to Jesus. And listen, I'd be pushing you out of my way. I want my kids to see Jesus. I want my kids. Some of you get in long lines to go see Frozen. This is better. I haven't seen the second one, but I will. But come on, we do that. But this is Jesus, and they've seen Jesus. They've heard Jesus. They know about Jesus, and they are, okay. So if the kids aren't misbehaving, probably the adults were. But anyway, so you've got these people, these parents, just trying to get their kids to Jesus so he can pray for them and bless them. And then you've got these disciples who are like, no, we're just going to protect our Lord and Savior, okay? And you know what the Message Bible says? By the way, Jesus did not like that. And the Message Bible says he was irritated with them and let them know it. So Jesus corrects them, and then he says, hey, bring all the kids to me, right? Okay, and they probably are running, and it probably just looked like chaos, but Jesus grabs them, just prays on them, throws the next one, and grabs one, and throws the next one. I don't know what it looked like, but anyway. But back up. So the disciples are trying to keep the children from Jesus, and Jesus stops, gets ticked off at them, corrects them, and then he uses it as a teaching moment. Don't you love people that do that? Oh, God. He uses it as a teaching moment, and he's going to talk to them about the kingdom of God and how we come to the kingdom of God. So here we go. And he's going to talk to them about being childlike, childlike, childlike behavior. What? Now, but he's going to talk to them about being childlike, but not childlike behavior where, you know, kids are silly and goofy and immature and snotty. Okay. He's going to talk to them about having childlike behavior. So what is this childlike behavior? If I'm glad you ask, if you're taking notes, write this down. Not this part, I'm going to jump in here. So not only, I forgot something here. So he's going to talk to him about childhood behavior, but he's really going to start with the kingdom. He's going to talk about what is the kingdom, and then he's going to jump over to childlike behavior. So now write this down. Ready? Here we go. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. So profound, Pastor D. No, listen. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king. Okay. When you made a decision to ask Jesus to come into your heart, to come into your life, you made a decision, you may not know this, there's a big difference, to make him king. Boss. King. So when you ask Jesus, this is how it should go. You ask him to be king of your life. You ask him to rule and reign in your life. I'm still working on this in my life though, guys, okay? But this is what you've done, alrighty? Now, and when you ask Jesus to come into your life, to be the king of your life, he says, the kingdom of God is within you. Write that down. The kingdom of God is within you. So what is the kingdom of God? Okay, all right. Now, we live in a Western culture. We don't have a king. We don't have kingdoms. All right? So we probably don't always get this, all right? We actually live in a democracy. We have representatives. We have elected officials. And we live in a nation where if I don't like what my elected official says, we are allowed to voice our opinion. Please be nice, y'all on Facebook, okay? And we can vote them out if we want to. That's our Western culture. But we're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about kingdoms, all right? And in kingdoms, they have a king, and they have kingdoms, and they have a government. But guess who rules and reigns that government? Yeah! You guys are so smart today. Lollipop time, lollipop time. You get rewards. Okay, so the king gets to do it. And listen, there is no opposing the king. If he says it, you do it. If you disagree or voice your opinion or do something, you have some serious consequences in kings and kingdoms, okay? The king alone decides and you jump. But this is the good news. But in the kingdom of God, it's so different. In the kingdom of God, it's different. Everybody say kingdom of God? Different. In the kingdom of God, the difference is he, meaning God, Jesus, doesn't force you into his kingdom. Guess what? You get to choose your king. How many of you have chosen Jesus as king? All right. That's the difference, okay? You get to choose if Jesus is king. Alrighty, so the day I made a decision to ask Jesus into my life, the day I asked him to do that, he became the king, and listen, the ruler and reigner of my life. You should write that down as your confession of faith. He became the king and the ruler of the reigner of my life, okay? And Jesus explains this over and over in the Gospels. The kingdom of God is this. The kingdom of heaven is this. The kingdom of God is this. Okay? And he explains that. So, turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. You know, I like the author of Mark chapter 1. He must be a New Jersey, New Yorker, because he just is going fast. When he writes his gospels, he just throws out the birth of Jesus. He just goes in for the gold. You know, all the other gospels, they go through the birth and the genealogy. He just like jumps in there. And, you know, he's the one that says all the time, immediately and suddenly. Okay. So here's the author, Mark, writing this. And he has just starts with Jesus. And Jesus just goes and tells you who he is and what his purpose is. So are you over at Mark chapter 1, verse 15? Here we go. The time promised, if you're taking notes, write the word promised. The time promised by God has come at last. He announced, this is Jesus. Jesus is announcing, the time promised by God has come at last. The second part, the kingdom of God is near. Write down the kingdom of God. We're going to talk about it. And then he says, repent of your sins and believe the good news. So write down, repent and write down believe. You've got four things we're going to talk about here. Okay, so listen to the Message Bible, though. It says this. This is Jesus, and he's yelling, time's up! The kingdom's here! Time's up! Time's up! It's here! Isn't that cool? And then he says, change your life and believe the message. Change your life and believe the message. Okay. So Jesus is saying, promise. Everybody say promise. So Jesus is saying, the promise that God said is here. It's now. It's now. The promise is now. Guys, God makes promises. Guess what? He's called the promise keeper. There's this guy who did a research. There's probably other ones, but this one I read. And he found there's over 7,000 promises in the Bible. 7,000 promises in the Bible that God makes. And a whole bunch of them have already come true. And then we'll see the rest. But listen, if God makes a promise, he's a keeper of a promise. You can be assured if God makes a promise, he's going to keep a promise. So this is what Jesus was saying. Hey, time's up. The kingdom of God is here. The promise is here. Now, I thought about that. The promise, God's saying the promise is here. So that means Jesus wasn't some fly-by-night pretty boy that just showed up on the scene. It was prophesied. And Jesus was prophetic showing up on the scene, right? It was a promise that he was coming, and God kept his promise. And that's why God had the nation of Israel, right? He had picked them to bring the Messiah, and the Messiah would come through the nation of Israel. That was all part of the promise, okay? So everybody, the promise is here. The promise is here, all righty? So that's the first thing that Jesus says. He comes on the scene and he goes, the promise is here. You guys, it must have been like, whoa, all righty? Now, the second thing Jesus talks about there, and you probably all wrote it down, Jesus starts talking about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, right? And he says, the kingdom of God is here or near, all righty? Praise God. Now, the kingdom of God, got to get this, is a realm. The kingdom of God is a realm. And when we decide to ask Jesus to be the king of our life, we start letting him more like, you let him continually be the king of your life. You're going to start changing and changing and changing, right? But first, what do you have to do? Jesus, be the king of my life. All right. Now, believing in Jesus is a decision. It's a decision you get to make. And God doesn't make you. Your mom may have made you eat broccoli, but God doesn't make you ask Jesus into your life. Okay. It's a decision. Now, becoming like Jesus is a process. Anybody in the process? You all are in the process. I'm in the process. We call the journey, the walk with God. It's a process, and it's a day by day by day by day. Please don't quit. And by day, so I've had a decision, but there's a process of becoming like Jesus. Praise God. All righty. So when you have decided your decision to ask Jesus into your life to be king, there will be a process. Amen. All right. So Jesus talks about the promise. Then Jesus talks about the kingdom. And then he talks about these two words, repentance and believe. Repentance and believe. Okay, repentance. This word I think we muff up a lot. Some people, not us, because we got it, right? We know what we're doing. But some people just get this word repentance and they think it's like a feeling. I feel bad. So I'm going to ask Jesus, or I feel sorry, I feel shame, okay? And they think that's what repentance is. Write this down. Repentance is not an emotion. Now, you may have emotions. You may have snot and tears, okay? And we have Kleenexes. But repentance is not an emotion. Repentance is decision. And listen to this one. Repentance is an action word. Repentance is an action, okay? Such as, Jesus, I will, okay, sounds like I made a decision, follow you. There's action after that. I will day by day follow you. So repentance comes with, and let me write this, and you probably all know this, but repentance is I am a sinner, and now I'm going to turn to God. Okay, I'm going to turn, better yet, how about right? I am going to turn from sin, and I'm going to turn to God. That's repentance. I'm going to turn from sin, and I'm going to turn from God. Okay, and praise God. So, Jesus says, when you come into the kingdom, you make a decision to let Jesus be king. Jesus be king, okay? And, you know, I found out when I made that decision and I said, Jesus be king, how many of you are like me? I had to relearn life. I had to relearn just my thinking. I had to relearn my mouth words, okay? Anybody, that's what happens. There's like a relearning. Anybody had to relearn now that I've asked Jesus to be king? If you didn't, we'll give another altar call and we will pray for you, okay? And you know what I also found out? And I'm still working on this, guys. I found it out, but I still work on this. Jesus, I made a decision. Jesus, come into my life, be king of my life. And I am no longer building my kingdom. Everybody say, my. I am now going to help the kingdom of God. Matter of fact, he's going to help me as I let go of all of my kingdom and I start with the kingdom of God, okay? Actually build the kingdom of God. Say, I'm building the kingdom of God. Praise God. And listen, you get to be a part of the kingdom of God the day you ask Jesus to be in your life and you make him king. Praise the Lord. So repentance is a super important word when it talks about the kingdom. Okay, then let's jump down to believe, that word believe. And it says in the scripture we just read, it says the kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins. Believe the good news. The good news is the gospel. The gospel is the good news, and that's Jesus. Really simple. The good news, the gospel is Jesus. And you have to believe. All right? You have to believe. So the good news is the truth. The good news is peace. The good news is joy. The good news, you get to be a part of all of that when you made a decision to ask Jesus to be king and to have the kingdom of God inside you. And it is awesome. It is awesome. Amen? Amen. So let's see. Kingdom of God. So Jesus kept saying the kingdom of God is this. And he gives an example, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Now, switch gears, stay focused. How many of you, and do not touch your cell phone. How many of you have heard of Kanye West? Okay, those that do not know who he is a super famous rap artist, okay, and he recently published, I guess that's what you say, I don't know, a song. And everybody know the title of the song? What? Yeah, Jesus is King. All right, I've had a lot of people come up, Pastor D, what do you think about it? I go, oh, what do you think about it? Well, what do I think about it? Well, I don't really know the guy. But let me tell you what I do know about this guy. He has had all that the world could give. He's had money. He still does. He has money. I guess that's fortune, fame. He has everything that the world could buy. Right? Guys, like, I don't even know what's in the bank account. Probably got bunches of them, okay? So, I don't know where I am on my notes. Praise the Lord. I'm on Kanye. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I do know that, and I've watched him on some talk shows, and I actually saw him on a, okay, anyway, moving on. But listen, I know this about him financially. I know this about fame. It's incredible. But what I do know is a couple years ago, he talks about this, about a year and a half ago, he went to a hospital. And he had a nervous breakdown, an emotional breakdown. And you know what that tells me? All the money, all the fame did not fill him, did not satisfy him, all right? And while he was in that hospital, he says, his testimony, he had an encounter with Jesus the King. Yeah, praise the Lord. All right. So now he has a platform that I never have. He has influence I do not have. And he has decided Jesus is king, and he's using his platform and his influence to shout it wherever he goes. Jesus is king. So don't criticize the guy. Listen, he is out front telling everybody. You know what that does? That just puts a target on his back. And I do not want to be one of those that's shooting at him, all right? And shame, shame, don't do that, all right? What should we be doing for him? Praying for him. Guys, he has an audience that you can't even imagine, okay? All right? He has an audience and a platform that I believe God will use. And I like to believe that he did have an encounter. And from everything I'm watching, and I don't watch that much, but anyway, that he did have an encounter with Jesus. And he said, Jesus is king. So we're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for him. Amen? Because who would love to knock him off? Just yes. So you pray for him. You pray for him. And by the way, you have a platform to go places that I'll never go. You have an audience to go to and an influence that I don't have. So stay in your lane. Go where you're supposed to go. And everywhere you go, shout, Jesus is my king. Okay? Praise God. Jesus is my king. And listen, we've got this. So back up. Goodbye, Kanye. Please pray for him. So we have made a decision to have Jesus come into our life to make him king, right? And it has this great blessings in our life. It has this great stability in our life. But you can't have any of that of the kingdom of God until you say, Jesus, be king of my life. You know, some days I have to start every day like that. Some days halfway through the day I have to and start all over again, all right? So it's a day by day, and I let him be king of my life, all righty? So we're talking about the kingdom of God, right? And then the next part, this is what I'm going to say. Jesus starts talking about, I have this kingdom that's within you, and then he says, I want you to be childlike. So what is this childlike? I'm glad you asked. Open up I'll get there in a minute, all right? Write this down. Childlike. Childlike. Jesus says, I want you to be childlike so you can have this kingdom of God. To have this kingdom of God, you have to be childlike. I want you to have this kingdom of God, but to have this kingdom of God, you got to be childlike. So listen, write this down. When it comes to faith, keeping a childlike wonder keeps your heart from getting weary. Anybody ever been weary? Nah. That was the first week in December, okay? But listen, keeping my faith in Jesus, my belief in Jesus, okay? You have to keep a childlike wonder, and it will protect your heart from being weary, all right? Childlike wonder. Again, it doesn't mean silly and immature and all that stuff. It means this, write this down. Childlike wonder means staying amazed. Staying amazed on who God is. Staying amazed on who Jesus is. Staying amazed. That is a childlike wonder. All right? Staying amazed. Okay. While Jesus was on the earth, people were amazed by him. Everywhere he went, he had crowds. Okay? They were. Why did they follow him? They were amazed. They were amazed at his miracles. Guys, he raised the dead. He fed thousands. They were amazed. They follow him. They said they were even amazed when they listened to him teach because he taught like nobody else, like somebody with authority. It says they were amazed. I think I'd be amazed. All right? When you read your Bible, you should be amazed. All righty? Now, they were amazed, but as soon as Jesus started dishing out some hard stuff that they needed to follow, guess what happened? It says a bunch of them just walked away. Like, talk about abandonment. Starts dishing out some stuff. Like, what do we say? Stepping on toes? Okay? And they walked away. I don't know about you, and I've watched this, and I've done this, but the older I get in the Lord, and the more of life happens, the experiences, how about the disappointments, the things that didn't go away, guess what? We can lose our amazement of who God is and who Jesus is. Alrighty? So, like, before it was like, oh, I'm so amazed what God, who God is. He came for me. I don't know about any of you, and if you weren't on the planet, he still came for me to die for me. And I am still amazed. Matter of fact, I just start crying. I just, that's as far as I get. Some mornings, that's it. Dee, how was your devotions? Oh no, I'm still crying. I get amazed. But listen, sometimes life just, and the experiences of life and what people do or just blows up. And we start to wonder, God, I have this thing in my life. I'm just wondering why I didn't show up. God, I got this situation and I'm just kind of wondering what happened here. Okay? And we can lose our childlike wonder. I have. Anybody else? Okay, but I'll get back there. All right, I'm back on the horse. Praise God. Okay. The disciples have a situation like this in Luke chapter 10. But back up, just write down. Luke chapter 9, Jesus commissions the 12 disciples. He gives them all power and authority, and they just go out and just, wah. And then the next chapter in 10, he picks 72 other followers. He calls them disciples, and he sends them out to go to the towns that he's going to go to. They're like the first wave. And they just have crazy town. They're preaching who Jesus is, and devils are being cast out. People are being healed, and they come back, Jesus, Jesus, and they are thrilled and excitement and just celebrating all that happened. All that happened. And Jesus is celebrating him. Turn over to Luke 10:21. He's celebrating, and then he has this kind of communication go on with heaven. So, okay, here it goes. At that time, Luke 10:21. At that time, while they were all celebrating, so awesome, I got to tell you what happened. I saw this happen. While they're celebrating, and Jesus is celebrating, okay? Jesus was filled with joy of the Holy Spirit, and he said, oh, Father. Man, he's got some communication going on. Anybody ever have that? Oh, Father, Lord of heaven. Thank you for hiding these things from those who think themselves to be what? Wise and clever. And for revealing them to the childlike. Yes, Father, it pleased you to do it this way. I would read that and it would just bug me. Everybody reads things in the Bible and you're like, this just kind of irks me. Okay, I was reading that, and you know, because on one hand, I know I need to grow up. I know I need to be wise with the wisdom of God, and I need to have understanding of the kingdom of God so I can walk that. I know that. But over here, on the other hand, he's saying to the wise and clever, God's hiding stuff. God's hiding what the kingdom of God's like. God's hiding the spiritual truths. And I'm like, what? And then he's going to reveal it to the childlike. Did you see that? Anybody ever get bugged reading some things in the Bible? Okay, I did. So, or he's going to reveal it to those who are childlike. Praise God. So here's my question. What is it to be childlike? Pastor D, you've been saying this. So what is it? Well, okay, there's some characteristics of childlike. And those of you who have parents, you could probably make up 2 pages of list. But one, how many of you remember or are in the middle of why? Go do this, why? Go get dressed, why? Do that, why? I did not enjoy that, okay? It's like, because I said so. And then there wasn't pretty going on, okay? So there are some significant characteristics of childlike, okay? They're curious. They want to learn. Oh my gosh. They want to discover and they're amazed. You give them a bag on the floor and they're just amazed playing with it. Okay? So there's this childlike wonder that we are supposed to have. And you think about this. Kids don't worry about what they're going to eat next. I don't know what we're going to eat, Mom, after I eat these mashed potatoes. They don't worry. Okay, they don't even worry about the food. They don't worry about what clothes they're going to wear. Case in point. Matter of fact, they like going naked. Cassie sends me a picture of this little Christmas tree, and there's this little boy hiding behind it. And I thought, real quick, oh, that's so cute. This is my grandson. Okay, they live far away. And then I text her back. I go, I think there's a naked little boy hiding behind that Christmas tree. She says, yes, he just got out of the bathtub, and he's running around naked. He's not worrying about clothes. Now, they reach a certain age, and it costs you money when they start worrying about clothes, right? Okay? Praise God. They don't worry about if the bills are going to be paid. All right? Childlike wonder, okay? The same level of trust that your children or little children have in their earthly mom and dad is the same level of trust we should have, we can have, and better yet, you are invited to have with the King. Amen. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. All righty. And you know, I get to this place where I'm going, I could worry about this, this, and this. And I go, God, you're my Father, creator of heaven and earth. You've got, what's it, the cattle on a thousand hill. You own all the gold and heaven's paved with gold. I will trust you. Amen. That is keeping childlike wonder. Do I have to rein it in sometimes? Yes, I do. Praise God. All right. And by the way, that is a promise. And God, we said, is the promise keeper. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Childlike wonder. Children are just accept people easily. Sometimes I can get in trouble, but just think about that. So, we all went on a vacation, my gang, to Florida in October. And my sister Liz joined us. And we are there not even 24 hours, and we're in the water, and little Cash has never met my sister Liz, okay? And we're in the water, and Cash yells out, I love you, Aunt Liz! Hey, 24 hours, he doesn't really know this lady. I'm like, kids accept people, right? Kids forgive a whole lot easier, right? All right, childlike, all righty? And, did you know that kids don't judge? Judgment is actually learned. Yeah, so what are you saying around your kids? I always say kids, this is not in the notes. I'll cover up the microphone. Kids, as they're growing up, are the worst of you. But now you got polish on you, right? And I'm doing it better. So watch what you say, and you work on them, and they're beautiful. Okay, I shouldn't say that. Anyway. Praise God. So we have all this about being childlike and having a childlike wonder. You know, and they're great. The childlike wonder, being like child and doing like this. And yet, somehow, life just goes hitting you and you lose it. Life comes at you this way, that way. People die, disappointments, just kind of hits you. Okay, and we can lose sight of childlike wonder. The wonder that we're supposed to always be amazed of who God is and how awesome he is and how big he is, all righty? So, but Jesus brings it back. Jesus, and that is his purpose, all right? So that's why I love Christmas. I love Christmas carols because it is a season to invite Jesus the King. It is so easy, all right? Okay, to invite Jesus the King, and then I can become more like him, and I'll have this kingdom just going through me and outside of me. It's just wonderful, wonderful. So, the kingdom of God. Go back to our story where Jesus has just got all these kids all jumping around him, right? And they're all just, parents are shoving kids. I could just see parents just shoving babies in them. Kiss the baby. Pray for this baby, okay? We've got this thing going on. And what does Jesus say to the disciples about these kids? He said, come. Let them come to me. And guys, we have the same invitation. Come. And now, I got to thinking about this. Jesus didn't say, okay, line up first and then come to me. He didn't say, go wash your hands and your face and then come to me. What's that? What's that stuff you put on your hands? That and I have never used it. But I have a daughter who's a nurse. I think she guzzles it, all right? But Jesus didn't say, do all of this and come to me. What does Jesus say to the children? What does Jesus say to us? Just come. Just come. Just come. Look at your neighbor and say, just come. Okay? Come to who God is. Come and seek him and you'll find him. Amen. I love, you can write this down. Jeremiah 29:13. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love it. And it says, Jeremiah 29:13, go write it down. Put it on your sticky note, in your car, on your mirrors. It's just incredible. Jeremiah is a prophet that God would speak to and speak through. Okay? And what he says is about the Bible, but here it goes. He says, look for me wholeheartedly and you will find me. Look for me wholeheartedly and you will find me. Guys, that's a promise. And I will tell you, that's why I stand here today. And I've told my story before. I just had, my brother was killed, and I am losing it. And I'm on the top bunk. I'm back home. And I said, God, if you're real, I need to know. Man, it was 3 months later, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Jesus became king of my life, okay? But if you look for him, you will find him. It's a promise. If you look for him, you will find him. And I know we have people, and maybe you, and you've had this happen and that happen, and then people walk away from God. And I want to say, well, did you ask him? he'll just show wonderful, wonderful. Okay, point number three, hallelujah, ready? God is looking to reveal himself. God is looking to reveal himself to those who are looking for him. That's that Jeremiah. God is looking to reveal himself for those who are looking for him, okay? And Jesus simply says, come. He just says, come, all righty? Come, and he, if you are looking, he's saying, come, and he's going to reveal himself to you, okay? And it's a promise. How many of you, I just finally watched this. I said this the other day. You know, I've never seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody ever seen the movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Came out in 1940s. That was long, long time ago in a far, far away place. And it's a Christmas movie. It's classic. It'll be on every channel until after Christmas. And I love Jimmy Stewart was in there. And then that cute little Doris Day. And I forgot who the other one guy is, okay? And it's about Jimmy Stewart plays this character called George Bailey. And George had these great aspirations. By the way, you should have aspirations in life, desires in life, okay? And he's going to do this in life and that in life, and life just doesn't go that way, all right? And he's really bummed out, so bummed out that he goes to a bridge, and guess what he wants to do? Yeah, end his life, jump off, all right? And he's standing there, and he says this, Father, I'm not a praying man, but if you can hear me, would you show me the way? Show me the way. And next thing you know, there's this guardian angel, and half of that is not scriptural, but, you know, just go with the movie and enjoy it and eat your popcorn, all right? And sometimes, you know, the angel shows him what his life would be, what the world would be without George Bailey. Takes him on this journey. What would the world be without George? All righty. And at the end of the movie, he figures this out and he says, every person, this is George, he goes like the lights go off, the aha moment. And he says, every person impacts so many other people. Look to the person there. Look to the person there. Yeah, you impact. Every person impacts so many other people's lives. If someone is not here, it would leave an awful hole, wouldn't it? That was his aha moment, all right? Guys, I know it's just a movie. It's a good movie, okay? But I think those are important things that you need to look at your life and ask, and I'm thinking a whole lot of people do ask that. Like, God, does my life really matter? I remember asking that. God, you know, God, I didn't make the Fortune 500 list. I didn't make the who's who in 2019. I didn't make any list. God, does my life matter? Should ask, because I'm going to tell you what happens, okay? God, do you really care about these deep things in my heart? God, do you really care? All right. Now, switch gears. Go to the next lane with me. The disciples kind of had a moment like that. All right. And then you'll find it. I'm not going to read it to you. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 13 and 14. Go read that. All right. And they had, so back up. You got these boys, his buds. They did life with Jesus for 3.5 years, 24/7. Everything inside, outside, upside down. They got to talk with him, touch him, laugh him, watch incredible things in Jesus's life for 3.5 years. Miracles. They got to stand with him when he was ticked off and throwing the money changers around. They got to do life with Jesus, okay? And yet, listen, they still fully didn't understand who Jesus was and what his purpose was. Did you ever have those days? Like, ooh, okay. And now you might think, duh. Well, you guys got to read your Bible. But they didn't, all right? And they're just like, you know, ugh. In John chapter 14, Jesus answers their question, all right? Turn over, John chapter 14, verse 16. Praise God. John chapter 14, verse 16, he answers the question, and he said, I am the way, the truth, the life. So what's God doing through Jesus? He's revealing himself when he said that. Guys, some of you are like, whoosh, over my head, Pastor D, say that again. When he said, I am the way, the truth, the life, he is revealing himself to them. Praise God. Okay? Praise God. All righty? And he's also, remember that part? If God wants to reveal himself to those that seek him. God wants to reveal himself to those that want to know him. All righty? The next part. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you don't know him and have seen him. All right? And they're like, what is he talking about? What? Okay. And then we got this guy, Philip, who's going to talk next. And Philip says what everybody's thinking. Don't you love? That was my sister Mary. She would just, you're thinking it, but Mary would just say it. Go, Mary, go do this, because she's doing it. And listen to what Philip says. Philip says, Lord, show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. And he's like, Jesus, you know, you keep telling us about the Father and who the Father is and all of this stuff. And listen, we can see you, so why don't you just let us see the Father like the way we see you, and then we'll be satisfied. Okay? And listen to what Jesus says. Jesus replied, and he just kind of, probably just his voice level got up a little bit, I think. Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me this question? Guys, God wants to reveal who he is. And if you ask, if you look, if you seek, he will show you who he is. And I'm not just talking about receiving him as king in your life. I mean every day. Every day. Some of you are sitting in some hard, you are backs up against the wall. Why don't you say, God, I need you to reveal yourself today to me in this situation. And he is wanting and he will do that. Amen. So, maybe you're here and you're not anybody here. You're like, God, are you listening? God, don't you know what's going on in my life? And you know what God says? I am. He's the great I am. All right? How about God? Don't you know all these concerns, aka worries I have? Like, God, I'm worried about my kid. God, I'm worried about this bill. God, I'm worried about death. God. And you know what God says? I am. Just come to me, right? And you know, sometimes again, we think this is just salvation. It is every day. God's going, come to me, come to me, come to me. Praise God. So, praise God. So the kingdom of God is within. Amen. When you made a decision to let Jesus be king. And Jesus is the arrival of the kingdom. And he wants to be in your life, and he gives this invitation to everybody and anyone. Whether you grew up in church, you get the same invitation. If you've never been to church, you get this invitation. If you're a little kid, we love giving this invitation to little kids downstairs. They're just like a piece of cake. Then you give them a lollipop. They're just wonderful. Or you're an old person. I'm not old. Okay? It's the same invitation. Praise the Lord. So Jesus is the King. Can we just worship him? Father, we come and we just thank you for the arrival of the King, for the arrival of the kingdom, for peace. Lord, I just thank you for the peace you've given us. Thank you for the healer that you've given us. Thank you for joy that you've given us, all because of the arrival of a King. Praise God. Father, Lord, I just want to pray. Lord, I thank you that you love to reveal yourself. And today, I thank you that the Holy Spirit will continue a work in our hearts to reveal how big, how wonderful your kingdom is in us and the kingdom you want us to help build. I thank you, Father, that these words we chew on them. I thank you that they impact our life. I thank you that they change the way we see life, the way we do life. In Jesus' name. And of course, one more. If you're here today and you've not made this invitation real in your life, and God is saying, and Jesus is saying, hey, come. You don't have to line up, wash up, get your life together. You just come. And he stands there. I love like the story of the prodigal son. He stands there with his arms open saying, come. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, to be king of your life, can I tell you today is going to be your day, the best day ever. So if you're here and you'd say, I'm done. I'm done with me, and I'm ready for you, Lord. If you just raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Just say, Jesus, you know, you're just saying, Jesus, come, come. And remember, you don't have to do anything. Get cleaned up, all right? He just says, come with your mess. Just come. And he is the cleaner upper. Praise the Lord. So is there anybody here that would say, Jesus, I want you to be the king of my life. I'll pray for you. Anybody? Okay. Praise God. Okay. Eyeballs up here. Let me say this. This is the easiest season to tell people what the season's about. Amen. Go be a light. Go be a light wherever you go. Have a wonderful week. If you need some prayer, I'll be up here to pray for you. If not, we got extra strong good coffee. And have a wonderful week. Amen. Praise God.